Mr. Ashley, reel 10.
Well, I accepted this job, and well, my father said the pay was very good. It was £8 a week. Spending money with all uniform, food, cigarettes and drink provided. Well, I thought, where could I go wrong on that?
Yes, I see.
So, I mean, I regretted it afterwards, yes. But still, I couldn't go back.
Yes. You obviously had no trouble getting a job, and in fact got a very attractive one. But I wondered what the common experience was. The large numbers of regulars who left the Navy at this time, I wonder how difficult they found it to get jobs.
Well, you couldn't leave the Navy unless you had evidence you had a job to go to with the same money as you were getting in the Navy and the same, you know, equivalent to the same with the victualling allowance and all this business. You couldn't leave unless you'd finish your time. But, I mean, under the Admiralty letter that I came under, you had to give evidence that you had a job to go to which would keep you in the country, wouldn't be keeping you.
This period we're talking about, which is 1919-1920 time, how valuable was the sort of naval training that was given to lower deckers when they actually left the service and had to compete with civilians for jobs?
Well, I don't know, but to me, I mean, it's a wonderful experience because I went there in the Royal Thames Yachting Squadron, although I didn't like their methods compared with the Navy, that's why I left them. And I went back, I went to London University to take my exams for the civil service.
After, what, let me see, 6 years continuous service in the Navy as you've had, when you finally went into civilian life proper, did you find any difficulties in, you know, the adjustment that was necessary?
Yes, I found difficulty in finding friends, making friends. Great difficulty. I could never seem to get the same companionship outside the service I did within.
That's awfully interesting. I wonder why...
Never have done since. I don't know. I think the comradeship you get in the service is something out of this world. I mean, it doesn't seem to... well, be on a par anywhere. And see, when the war started again, the Second War, I put in straight away to go back and with my same captain. But he wouldn't let me because Mark was at number. He was a squad leader. And only one of us could be released, and they released him, and unfortunately he got killed. So,
apart from this business of comradeship, did you find the adjustment to civilian life created any other... not necessarily difficulties, but things which, you know, were unfamiliar.
No, well, the only thing you found, there was, you see, in the service, you can't plan your life ahead where you can in civilian life. I mean, you're in the service, you can't say, I'll see you in a fortnight's time, or you can book up a seat for the theatre in a fortnight's time, you don't know where you're going to be, do you? But in civilian life, you can.
You not only can, but you have to, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that difficult to adapt to?
Well, it did. I found it quite difficult in the first place. But
can you think of any examples?
Well, no, not really, because... I was abroad in this yacht, in the Mediterranean, and having a good time.
I was thinking of later, after you finished with the yacht.
Well, no, then when I got in the civil service, I mean... I got on very well, took my examinations and everything, and I got on very well, and I seemed to get on very well with people.
So no other
good
problems?
Matter of approach.
No other problems in the transition from...
But I think my period in the service gave me the right sort of approach for the job I had in taxes and inspector of taxes eventually, you know. Because all my job was interviewing people. For arrears of income tax and non-payment tax. And I think the training I had in the service did me a lot of good.
Good.